Hannah was barren, had not been able to bear children. She had been up to the temple to pray about that. If you remember, Eli the priest had witnessed her praying. Her lips were moving, but no words were coming forth. And Eli come to the conclusion that she was drunk. But then when he spoke with her, he understood the burden and asked God to grant her her petition. We pick up that reading in verse number 19, speaking about Hannah and her husband. It says in 1 Samuel 1:19, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. They slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there." I want to call your attention to a statement, a phrase, a brief part of verse number 23. Toward the end of the verse, just beyond the very middle of the verse, Elkanah, responding to his wife Hannah, who is telling him that she's not going to go up at that time to Shiloh to worship, she's going to stay home and wean Samuel, he makes this statement unto her, "Only the Lord establish his word." I want to preach this morning on mothers and the establishment of God's word. Mothers and the establishment of God's word. Every time I go to a workplace or business, I see the absence, the overwhelming absence of what we call the work ethic. It's also not very difficult to see the absence of skill, competence, and the desire of people to even pretend that they care about anyone or anything. This past week, I witnessed cashiers checking people out at the register with one hand and one eye on their phone and the other hand and the other eye on the register. But as sad as all of that is, it's worse when we live in a spiritual culture that has become similar, where instead of both eyes on spiritual matters and both hands and our whole heart and our entire lives being concerned about the Word of God and what God demands, we kindly live with one eye on something else. In the day when Elkanah and his barren wife Hannah lived, the nation of Israel was at a low point spiritually, and I stress the word low. The priesthood was corrupt, chapter 2, you can read about that. The Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of the presence of God among the people of Israel, was not in the tabernacle. You can read about that in chapter 4 of this book. You read chapter 7, you find idolatry was rampant all across the nation. And in chapter 8, the judges and those that were to administer justice and law, they were dishonest and basically absent from any reality. But it's interesting that with everything that is wrong with the nation nationally and spiritually, it's interesting that the book of Samuel opens not in the courts of the judges. It doesn't open in with dealing with the idolatry, nor with the absence of the Ark of the Covenant, or with the corrupt priesthood, although that will soon follow. God opens this up to us and takes us into a home. He takes us into a place where a man and his wife is living, and where there's a barren womb and a burden. And he takes us into this place where God is about to do a work that will, without any doubt, establish God's Word. Now, if you read the opening verses of 1 Samuel, you will find that Elkanah had two wives, Penah and Hannah. Penah had given him children, and Hannah had no children. And that's a subject about his two wives for another time. There's no question that Hannah was the one that he desired to have children with. And because of her barrenness, she is burdened about this. The first chapter reveals that to us. And in verse 11, she goes before the Lord and vows a vow that if God will look on this affliction, if He will look on the barrenness of her life, that she will give the fruit of this child. She will give this child, which eventually would be Samuel, she would give him back to the Lord. I want us to begin this morning at verse number 19, where I read, when Hannah returns to her house along with her husband, they've been up to the temple. That's where she has prayed. That is where she has spoken to Eli the priest. And now she returns home in verse number 19. She returns back home there in verse number 19 to their home in Ramah. Now, if you go to verse 1 of chapter 1 of this same book, it goes a little further. It tells us this is Ramah Tham Zophim. We don't know exactly where that is. There was no Google Earth back then, so you couldn't just Google it and find out exactly where the spot was. But I think we're somewhere probably north of Jerusalem, maybe around modern-day Tel Aviv is where this was actually happening. But she's been to the temple. She's poured out her heart to God, and Eli has told her that the Lord has heard her petition. You'll find that in verse number 15 and 16, where she tells Eli that she's a woman with a broken heart and full of sorrow, and God has and she's come to pray for a son, and God has answered. Eli said, "The Lord will give you the petition that you have asked of Him." That's what he says in verse number 17. Eli is assuring this mother-to-be now that God will answer her prayer. She's not yet conceived. But Eli, the priest, is promising her that God has heard her. We'll come back to that verse just a little later when we look at Elkanah's words to her back in verse 23. Now, before I go any further this morning, I want to point out that this entire section that I'm preaching from this morning is taking place within the bookends of worship. If you look at verse number 19, when Hannah and Elkanah return, it says they rose up in the morning, and before they left to come home, they worshiped. If you look at verse 28, you will find that after Samuel has been born, and now she takes him back and gives him to the Lord and leaves him there dedicated to God, verse 28 says that there's worship going on again there in this temple. And so this whole scene is just somehow taking place between the bookends of worship. And it's reminding all of us this morning that no matter what the spiritual condition of our land may be, what the spiritual condition of our own souls may be, what it is that burdens us or what it is that blesses us, whether we're in the midst of barrenness or whether we're in the midst of fruitfulness, worship is always in place. Worship is always right, no matter what the situation may be in our lives. And notice Elkanah says to her in verse 23, he's saying, I want you to do what you do. If you want to keep Samuel here till you've weaned him, that's fine. But he said, only the Lord establish His word. What Elkanah is saying is, over all of this that you've been praying about, over all of this that's taken place in the story, Elkanah is saying, the main thing here is that God's word be established, that God's word be confirmed, that everyone knows that the will of God be done, the word of God be fulfilled, whatever God has spoken and whatever God has said. There are some this morning who will hear preachers preach about motherhood or womanhood, and they will think, well, he's preaching from a traditional upbringing. He's preaching from a culture in which he was raised, in which this was appropriate, and this was the way that we honored things, and this was the way that mothers lived, and this was what mothers should do. But he needs to get with the program and understand that the culture has changed, and so motherhood has changed, and all of those things connected with it has changed, and so he needs to come off that soapbox and quit staying there, because things have changed. The heart of this message is this: God established in His Word what a mother is to be, how a mother is to live, what a mother is to do, how a mother is to be honored, and the purpose and plan of motherhood. That all has been established in the Word of God. And every mother here today, your desire should be to fulfill what God has established and not worry about what the world has changed. But do what God has said in His Word. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. The outline I want you to follow this morning is very simple. Hannah goes home and conceives. Number two, Hannah stays home after she's conceived. And then number three, Hannah comes to the temple to bring her dedication unto God. It's very simple. That's what this story is about. But in the midst of all of this, when Hannah goes home and conceives, she is establishing what God has promised and ordained in His Word. When Hannah stays home and raises her child until he is weaned, she is again establishing the Word of God and confirming what the Word of God taught in that day and what the Word of God still teaches today. And when Hannah brings Samuel to the Lord so he can be used for God's glory, she is still establishing and confirming what God has required in His Word. So that has not changed. The details may be somewhat different. The calling of God upon your children may be somewhat different from that upon Hannah's and Samuel being the national spiritual leader. Not all of our children are that. Not all of your children are that. But yet God has a purpose and a plan for all that He brings into this world. So look with me in verses 19 and 20. Hannah goes home with the promise. Eli has said, God will give you what you've asked Him, and Hannah has asked Him for a son. So in verse 19 and 20, Hannah goes home and she conceives. They rose up early in the morning, and worshiped before the Lord and returned. And I just want to say again, it don't matter what you're doing. It's always a benefit if you worship the Lord. Wherever you worship Him, it's going to help everything. It doesn't matter what goes on. But she returns and comes to their house, to Ramah, and Elkanah knew his wife. First of all, Hannah comes home and her husband knows her. The word "know" here does not mean like he looked at her and said, "I know who you are, you're Hannah." Not like that. The word "knew" here is speaking of the intimacy of the physical, marital, sexual relation designed by God for husband and wife to express their oneness and for life to be brought into this world. That's hard to understand in a culture that has spat upon and has just totally ripped apart everything sacred and precious about the sexual relationship between a husband and a wife. People glamorize, they glory in their sexual relations outside of marriage and boast about the products of their fornication and adultery. Hannah is here in her home with her husband in this relationship that's going to result in her conceiving a child. Thereby, she is establishing God's word. She is bringing life into this world as God has ordained in His word. Preacher, you're behind the eight ball on this one. The world's done, the train's done left that depot and not coming back. Well, I'm at the depot and I'm going to continue to preach what the word of God says, because that's how young women, when they get married, and that's how mothers establish and confirm the word of God, is when you bring life into this world the way that God has ordained it. And that is happening right here in the text. So the first thing happens at home is Elkanah knew his wife. And that doesn't mean they hadn't had sexual relations before, because obviously they had. But on this occasion, something else is taking place. Look at verse 19. It not only says Elkanah knew his wife, but it says here the Lord remembered Hannah. Now, this doesn't mean that God had previously forgotten her. The word remember is a covenant word throughout the word of God. When you see that, it brings to mind that God is acting according to His promises and His purposes. When God remembered Hannah, it means that God is now remembering His covenant promise. He's remembering His promise to Hannah. God is remembering who He is and what He plans to do through this union of Hannah and Elkanah and Samuel being the next spiritual leader of the nation. So when God remembers, He takes action. He causes things to happen. Mothers, please remember that the children that you conceived and the children that you bore are those that you will conceive and bear, or maybe those you are carrying in your womb this morning. These children are not just there because you knew someone in the sexual relationship. They are there because God has a plan and God has a purpose. And you see, the world looks at all of this just upon the relationship itself, whether it be in marriage or out of marriage, whether it be one of consent or whatever. They just look at that as some kind of physical act. No, there's more going on here. There's more taking place here. God has a plan and God has a purpose. And that's what's happening here in this home in Ramah. Thirdly, not only did Elkanah know his wife, and the Lord remembered Hannah, but thirdly, in verse 20, the Bible said she conceived and bare a son. And then she named that son Samuel. It means heard of God. She said, because I've asked him of the Lord, I'm calling him Samuel. His name means heard of God. Samuel's name reminds us of God's faithfulness and should encourage us to pray. It's Mother's Day now in Ramah, and she's naming her son to give honor and glory and praise unto God. So Elkanah and Hannah, husband and wife, have physical sexual relations within the bonds of marriage, which is normal and blessed by God. God remembers Hannah's prayer, and because of God's remembrance and the physical act, Hannah conceives, a child is born, and God is glorified. You say, preacher, that's wishful thinking. No, that's establishing the Word of God. And do you know what? There will never, as much has been said in the last 4 or 5 months in our country, there will never be a piece of legislation that will ever establish God's Word back to what it is intended to be in these relationships. It never will happen. But I want to tell you where it can happen this morning. It can happen in your heart, and it can happen in my heart. Young ladies, it can happen in your heart. Young men, it can happen in your heart. You can do life the way God intended for it to be done, so He will be glorified and He can be honored. This is what's happening in Ramah. So she conceives. Again, just in these few verses, just in these two verses, 19 and 20, you have a biblical view of humanity, you have a biblical view of conception, you have a biblical view of the home, and you have a framework in which God operates, and that is how His Word is established. That's why Paul tells us as Christians, come out from among them and be ye a separate people, saith the Lord, and live within the framework of God's word so he can be glorified. Secondly, not only did Hannah go home and conceive and bear a son, but in verses 21 through 23, Hannah stayed home and mothered her son. Now you think, okay, here we go. Now you're going to get on Hannah staying home because she shouldn't be out in the public place working. This text is not about that. Hannah stayed home from going to the temple to worship. I'm not going to bring something in the text that's not in here. She is going to go up. Elkanah's going up at the time of the temple. And Hannah says, no, I'm going to stay here until he's weaned. And then I'll go up and worship. And then I'll give him to the Lord like I promised the Lord. Now, if you want to find out what a woman's duty is in regard to work, read Titus 2 and verse number 4 through 5. But that's in the New Testament. I'm talking about here why Hannah stayed home. She stayed home for one basic reason. She stayed home to be a mother to her son. That's what she did. Again, preacher, thank you for being here, but you're way late. Don't know what you've breathed this week, but this is not the way things are. It is when the Word of God is established. Notice the text. It just simply said in verse 22, but Hannah went not up. Elkanah, her husband, went up to offer the yearly sacrifice and pays vows. But Hannah went not up. And she told her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. I want you to understand here what this mother is doing. Now, this may shock you, but I want you to understand this. This is really theologically deep. Hannah was using common sense. She's a mother feeding her baby. Her baby is not able to eat food yet. He needs to nurse from her breast. So she says, I can't take him up there and leave him because he needs first to be weaned. Here is a mother. Here is a mother 1,100 years before Christ who's using common sense. May God give us a church full and a community full, a city and county full, and a nation full of mothers in 2025 that will do the same. Use common sense. She's a mother. That's what she is. And that's what mothers do. Mothers nurture their children. She said, I will not go up to Shiloh until I have weaned Samuel. Samuel wasn't old enough to say amen right here, but I guarantee you he grinned after he ate. Common sense. She stayed home for maybe several years, we don't know, and nursed him from her breast until he was mature enough to eat and drink and digest his own food. Milk is pre-digested food. That's what it is. The mother eats, she digests that, and thereby the baby is able to be nourished. That's how God designed it. This is such a beautiful picture of how God designed women and mothers. And I love the wording here that the Holy Spirit puts in the text. It says that she, in verse 22, it said to appear before the Lord and abide. She went not up. She said, I'll not go up till he be weaned. And she just stayed at home. She dwelled there. She sat still. She was content with all of that. How can she do that? How can this woman, this mother, look back at verse 10 with me for a moment. Let me just set this up here just quickly. Look, before she was able to conceive, listen to this. Just for a moment, just put yourself in a position. You're a counselor, you're a psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever, and somebody's made an appointment with you, and you're reading their chart. And here's what you're reading in verse 10 about Hannah. And she was in bitterness of soul, prayed unto the Lord, in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. And then you've got other notes from her priest who says, I think she's drunk. She's drinking, you know. You're looking over all of it. This woman was a basket case before she conceived a child. This woman was physically, spiritually, and emotionally a basket case. And now, less than probably 2 years later, she just calmly stays home for a couple years to nurse her son. How do you get from that point to this other point. How do you get from all of that? You get there by being what God has created you to be and what God has called you to be. You want to know why the world is in such an emotional turmoil and physical agony today? Everybody's trying to be something they are not. Everybody's trying to be in a relationship and trying to be this and that when God never designed you to be that way. Simple truth on this Mother's Day morning. She just calmly stayed home for a couple years to nurse her son. I'm thinking about nursing moments. You mothers that are here today, you know what those nursing moments are. Sometimes they can be so agonizing you want to cry. And then other times they can be such sweet, intimate times that bonds are created that nothing in this world can ever tear apart. Look at verse 18 of this chapter. And she said to Eli, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now back up in verse 10, look at her again. She's in bitterness of soul. She's weeping sorely. She's crying. She hasn't been eating. This woman is a basket case. In verse number 18, notice how it defines her. She goes her way. She's eating. And her countenance was no more sad. I would love to hear what our secular counselors and psychologists would say about that. Back in verse 8, there's another description. Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is your heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10? Why? She is all messed up over here. And now, back over here in verse 18, she's on her way getting ready to go home. She's eating. Her countenance is no more sad. If you saw her, you wouldn't say, you just came out of a counselor's office. You look awful. No, everything has totally changed. You know why? Because the word of the Lord is being established and confirmed in her life. There is no counselor, there is no pastor, there is no psychologist or psychiatrist who can do for the human psyche and the human soul what obedience to the word of God and the will of God can accomplish. No one. This is amazing. She's eating, sadness gone, she's headed home to prepare for Mother's Day in Ramah. You know what happened? I read one writer this week who said Eli did not write her a prescription. He gave her a promise. I think there's a place for prescriptions in this world, but I don't think you should ever have a prescription wrote until you make sure you've covered his promises. The promises of God will do a lot of good for us and help for us. Hannah is not defying her husband when she says, "I'm staying home, I'm not going up, I can't go right now." No, she's not doing that. She's doing what a mother does, and that is she's feeding and nurturing her child, and she's making sure she's a mother. Mothers, could you just do that today? Just make sure you're a mother and do what the Word of God has asked you to do. I certainly am not asking any more of you, and no one else should do what the Bible says that a mother should do. Here's the heart of the message on this Mother's Day in verse 23 is Elkanah says, "Well then, okay, you do what seems good to you. You stay here till he's able to eat solid food and drink." And then he says this, only the Lord establish his word. What Elkanah is saying is, our goal here is not to get you up to the temple by a certain time and not to get this done, but our goal here is just that what God has promised be fulfilled. Our goal here is that what God has designed to take place takes place. And that's why we're here today, are we not? That's why we're here on this Lord's Day morning. That's why we're here on this Mother's Day morning. We're not here to tell beautiful stories and read poetry about women and all the... We're here to find out how God designed us, how God made us, and what God wants us to be. And that's what's happening here. This word "establish" in verse 23, it literally means to make good. Elkanah, her husband, wanted every decision that he and his wife made concerning Samuel. He wanted all of this to bring glory to God. Their home was at stake. Their nation was at stake. The spiritual condition of the country was at stake. And for decades, for most of my preaching ministry, Baptists have been praying about and marching for and sending their money and spending their energy on straightening everything out from the White House down. I want you to notice again in the nation of Israel, when God began this great work, He began it in the home. He began it with a mother and a father. And that's where it's got to start here. And until you and I are willing to do what the Word of God has said we're to do, nothing on the surf, nothing anywhere else is going to matter. Mothers, fathers, young people, all of us, I challenge you that as God blesses you and your children and your family, that your priority be that God's Word be made good, that God's Word be established in the way you marry, in the way you conceive children, in the way you nurse those children, in the way you nurture them, and then in the way you give them to the Lord. I challenge you this morning to make the Word of God a priority in that. Make sure that's a priority, that you want your life, your marriage, the conceiving of children, the birth of those children, the raising of those children, that all of those things be in accordance with the Word of God. And then give all of that to Him. You see, I think Hannah knew a little bit, but she didn't know totally that her little boy Samuel was a significant part in God's plan of redemption. Boy, Samuel was. He was a significant part in God's plan of redemption. And mothers, I know you aren't living in Ramah, 1,100 years before Christ was born. You're living in 2025, right here in our little part of the world. And your child may not be a Samuel. Your child may never have a big name that's remembered like this, but I want to tell you this. All of those children that you bore or that are sitting with you this morning, even those that you've bore that are no longer coming to church with you to worship and serve God, God put them in this world to be a part of His plan and a part of His purposes. So all of them are important. Hannah went home and conceived. Hannah stayed home and nurtured her children. I've got to help the economy, preacher. I've got to help our financial situation. I think our spiritual situation is more desperate today than any economical situation we will ever face in life. Thirdly and finally, verse 24 through 28, Hannah took her son to the Lord. So after being at the temple in prayer for a son, got the promise of a son, and then staying home with that son to nurse him and wean him, the Bible said she took him up in verse 24. She took him up to Shiloh and lent him, down in verse 28, and lent him, that means dedicated him, unto the Lord. Now think about what's happening here. Think about what's happening here. And mothers, this is a common thing among mothers. It's one thing to even sometimes for a mother to even let the child daddy take them to the store. I mean, we're protective, right? And certainly if one of your crazy cousins come by and want to take them somewhere, you think, ain't no way, I'm not doing that. Or letting them go spend the night with somebody. I never was keen on that myself. Of course, after they got married, I had to let them go. But I mean, they put you in front of everybody and make you say that as a dad. But I want you to understand, think about the bitterness she was in over her barrenness and then the joy she had when Samuel was born, and then 2 years with him nursing him and him close to her, and now she's going to take him and hand him over to the Lord. This is no easy thing for this mother to do, but she does it because she had promised that to God. Maybe you have a promise, a vow back in your life that you need to think about again and you need to remember. And all of this is so God's Word can be established, because that's what she said. In the closing of this chapter of chapter 1, that's what she said when she went back up there and talked to Eli. She said, if you remember, I'm the woman. It's been a couple years probably now, maybe a year and a half or more. She said, I was that woman, you remember, that told you, and I told the Lord, here he is, I'm bringing him back. I'm the woman that stood by thee here. She knew, God knew. She didn't know if Eli would remember, but she knew God knew. I don't remember your promises. I don't remember them, and maybe others don't. Maybe even your children don't remember the things you said to them, But I want you to know God knows and God remembers, and that's what Hannah said, and I'm back to fulfill my vows. She said, I've lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he'll be dedicated to you, to love you and to do your will. And then again, there's worship that takes place here in verse number 28. Mothers, this message this morning is not about God giving every barren woman a child. That will be preached today, I'm sure, across the country, that if you're wanting a child and you can't have a baby, if you'll pray hard and if you'll pray like Hannah, God will give you a baby. That is not promised in the text, and it's not promised anywhere in the Word of God. That has happened a couple times in Scripture, but that is not what this text is about. It's not about every woman never working outside the home. That's not what it's about. It's about God's Word being established in you as a mother. It's about God's Word being fulfilled in you as a mother when you do what God has ordained and designed and planned you to do. That's what this is about. It's about bringing Him glory. It's about fulfilling His purposes and His plans. So I close with these questions. Is it biblical for a woman, a female at birth, to establish God's Word by marrying and having children? Is that biblical? The answer is yes. Although God in His sovereignty may or may not permit all women to give birth and mother children, that is God's original plan according to Genesis 1:28 and 1 Timothy 5:14. Is it biblical for a woman, a female at birth, a married woman, to establish God's Word by staying home and nurturing their children? The answer to that is yes. 1 Timothy 5:14 says she's to guide the house. She is to care for the children and manage the house. As a matter of fact, that is directly connected. Paul gives the warning and says if she doesn't do that, Satan has an advantage to attack the home. And yet we dismiss our choices and say, well, the reason we got so many problems in our country is because of this person and that person. No, it's because of the basic things that we no longer do. Is it biblical for a woman, a female at birth, a married woman who is a mother, to bring her children to the Lord? The answer is absolutely yes. Every time I think about a mother or motherhood or womanhood, I think about what Paul told the young preacher Timothy, and that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation, that came from his mother and grandmother Eunice and Lois. And he said, Timothy, you had an advantage. You had a mother and a grandmother who taught you the Word of God. We were just talking about this out in the parking lot this morning before I came in. I was just sharing with one of the men. When this generation of grandparents who still serve God are gone, I honestly don't know what's going to happen with children. I really don't. I thank God for godly grandparents and godly grandmothers and godly mothers, but when this last generation who really cares about spiritually nourishing their children, when that generation is gone, I'm telling you this, there's no preacher going to have anything. There's not a rabbit he can pull out of the pulpit to keep those people interested in God. So the challenge is this morning for all mothers here, for all of us here, to establish God's Word by just doing what God put us here to do. You know, the Lord makes it very clear in the Bible, as your pastor, the Lord makes very clear in the Bible what I'm supposed to do, right? I mean, there's several chapters. You don't have to wonder about what I'm supposed to do. My qualifications, my requirements, what I'm supposed to do is very clear in the Word of God. I read this past week in a little devotional reading in Ezekiel where God, through Ezekiel, went after those false shepherds that didn't take care of the sheep and didn't love them and didn't feed them and didn't look after them. Brother, the condemnation and judgment is heavy upon that. Well, mothers, I want to remind you, it is very clear. It is very simple. It is very, very obvious in Scripture what you are to do, what you are to be as a mother. All you need to do is read the Scriptures and submit to those Scriptures. The same is true for all of us. Children, it's clear what you are to do and be in regard to Scripture. It's clear. It makes it clear. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long. Honor them. It's clear what we're to do. It's very clear what mothers are to be. Not every child is a Samuel, and don't ever try to make them that way. Not every child is a Samuel. Not every child is a Samuel in the sense that Samuel was, but every child is a Samuel in the sense that Samuel was. And that's not a misstatement. My children, your children, are Samuels. Some of them are not serving the Lord today. So what do you do as a mother? Come back to establish God's Word. Find a place of prayer again and begin to pray for them. And don't ever quit praying for them until you see Jesus face to face. Father, I thank you this morning for taking us to a little village outside of Tel Aviv, Lord, a little place called Ramah, a little home. With all the sin and corruptness going on, Father, before you ever decided to work in the corrupt priesthood and the crooked judges, before you ever decided to bring the ark back, and before you ever decided to tear down the idols and straighten out the Philistines, Lord, you chose to establish your word in a little home with a husband and a wife and a child. And Lord, with all the sin and corruptness right here in Caldwell County and adjoining counties, with all the spiritual idolatry and wickedness that's all around us, sitting here this morning, Lord, before you are just simply homes, husbands, wives, moms, dads, mothers, fathers, children. We're just simple, simple individual people. We're the Elkanahs and the Hannahs of the world. The little Samuels are sitting all around us. And Lord, we're here to do one thing, and that is establish your word. You've made covenant promises to do certain things, and you're going to do it within the boundaries that you have set up. And one of those boundaries is for a mother to be a biblical mother, a father to be a biblical father, children to be biblical children, and our homes to be biblical homes. Lord, you heard Hannah, and you answered her. Lord, would you in your mercy and grace hear us today as we pray? And Lord, I don't know the words Hannah actually said to you, but I ask you to help us. I ask you to help our mothers. I thank you, Lord, for these mothers who are raising their children in the fear and the nurture of the Lord. And they're there with them, Father, to point them in the right way and teach them the things that they need to understand and need to know. I pray you'd bless them. I pray you'd encourage them in their moments of weakness and discouragement. I pray they'd find support from their husbands and the men, that we would lead by example, and Father, we would be what we need to be, Lord, to them. May our mothers find help through this church family, Lord. May we pray for them, and may we help them, Lord, as you would have us to. I just ask you to do a work again, and Lord, may you bring us all today back to fulfilling and establishing your word. We thank you, Lord, again for this day. Bless these precious mothers that are with us today. I know some have children that no longer serve you. Some have children that are lost. Lord, we all have family that need Christ. May we just stay within our boundaries and keep loving and praying and sharing the gospel and telling them about Christ and setting before them an example of faithfulness to the Lord. May we just keep doing that, and may you use their lives to bring glory and honor unto your great name. I pray now, Father, you'd guide us the remainder of the day. Meet with us this evening as we gather back to worship and bind our homes. Lord, a lot of homes represented here this morning, and I pray you'd bind us all together and help us to love you and serve you. For it's in your name we do pray and ask these things. Amen.